And if we remember, of course, the Fed's job is to do two things. First, manage inflation. We could have a long conversation about whether they've been doing a good job at that or not. But the second is to keep Americans employed and have a low unemployment rate. And so with the jobs numbers, the unemployment rate that got released this morning, ultimately it came in about where it was forecasted. Last month, it was about 3.9%.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Well, we get the news. Unemployment is peachy. Everything is good, but maybe it's not so good. Maybe those rate cuts that you were counting on aren't really going to ever happen, or maybe they'll happen at a very slow rate. And what does it mean for the election? What does it mean for the economy? All of these things. Well, Ted Thatcher is with us now. And Ted, it's great to have you on the show. Well, your company, Bright Lake Wealth Management, and what is your outlook on today's report?
It's a great question, and Carrie, it's great to be with you too. I think what you were hinting at there is the right thing to talk about. Obviously, all this this market data and certainly the jobs numbers, we always start to think immediately about what the Fed's going to do with that, as they've been at the top of the discussion board anytime we see new data. And I think it's really important, Carrie, just to remember what the Fed's dual mandate really is, to try to get an idea of where they're going to go from here. And if we remember, of course, the Fed's job is to do two things. First, manage inflation. We could have a long conversation about whether they've been doing a good job at that or not. But the second is to keep Americans employed and have a low unemployment rate. And so with the jobs numbers, the unemployment rate that got released this morning, ultimately it came in about where it was forecasted. Last month, it was about 3.9%. This month, March, now, of course, less Americans are unemployed at 3.8%. Now,
hallelujah.
Well, go ahead.
I said hallelujah.
hallelujah.
I'm doing the problem. I'll just correct you. Actually, the Fed has three functions. The modern Fed has three functions: ensure price stability, maximize employment, and ensure that the stock market never goes down.
Absolutely. One direction is what they want, especially going into an election season, which I think, there's a lot of incentives there that are worth noting. But anyway, ultimately, if more Americans are employed and the unemployment rate's lower, I think that that, of course, leads me to always think about the demand that that creates. And that means more dollars ultimately end up chasing those same goods and services. And when, as we weigh out what the Fed has been doing, obviously trying to keep down inflation, when we see less Americans employed, I think that that means that, well, if demand's high, that can mean inflation is stickier, making it a lot more difficult for the Fed to justify significant rate cuts, even if one of their goals is to keep the stock market as high as possible.
Right. All right. So they're balancing three balls in the air. And or maybe they're like the seal with the balls up in the air, or the guy with spinning the plates, right?
Sure.
And eventually those plates, he runs out of hands and the plates come crashing down. When do you think the plates are crashing here, Ted?
Ultimately, I think that it's more likely, given the momentum and the pent-up nature of the markets right now, that we're going to see a little bit of a melt up before we see anything ultimately end up crashing down. And I do think that, things can't only go up. I think you might agree with me there. But at the end of the day, the market moves heavily on these kind of jobs numbers. And we both know that the sort of heavy weight that the Fed can put on the proverbial scales, has a huge effect. And I think that there's just too many, compounding factors there leading into an election season that make me think that we would see a short-term loss before we, actually saw that you know, run up, if that makes sense.
And let's not forget the last 12 or 13 job numbers the following month have been revised down. It's a Goldilocks number, right?
I like that word a lot. Yeah, absolutely. A Goldilocks number, trying to hit that quote unquote just right. But when the market moves on the short term, the short term release of it, it seems like it's always short sighted. And I do have, I mean, obviously I take my own issues with that, but we can only talk about what the numbers we have at the moment, at least for what we think the market's going to do right now.
Yeah. So looking ahead, so this is going to take the wind out of the sails of the rate cut argument, right?
Yeah. So I think, I mean, if we listen to what Jerome Powell said at their last meeting, there was, that continued dovish stance on, you know, rate increases and basically, of course, hinting at those decreases, despite all of the, the issues that can arise with that. And so I just think when we have pent up demand driven by a lot of Americans being employed, JP's desire to get these lower rates, I think it's harder to justify.
Yeah, which means that the eventual banking crisis is going to happen that much sooner, isn't it?
I think that that's worth talking about. I think we talked about that a little bit the last time we were together, and just the BTFP and the bank term funding program and that now coming to an end. The last issue of those loans by the Fed to the regional banking system happened in March. And so ultimately, either the Fed's going to have to lower rates substantially so the balance sheets of those banks come back to, a much better position, or even a break-even type of position on a lot of those, you know, long-term bond assets. Or they're going to have to do something to continue to create that liquidity. Because what happened, as we all remember, spring of last year, when rates, by the way, were lower than they are today, is we had the issues with Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank and all those, all those banking collapses.
All those banks that don't exist anymore. And don't you think it's funny that on the day when New York City has an earthquake, the market's up 400 points?
I do think that. I think, as I kind of hinted at there, I think the market's just been looking for a reason to bounce up and sort of, I'll say, get back to some kind of normalcy, if I could even call it that. And really, more than normalcy, I should just say what has been regular the last decade and a half. I just think it's very tongue-in-cheek, and I agree with you entirely on that.
Hey, can you imagine how much it would have gone up if we had a volcano?
Yeah, hey, or a hurricane. What if we got a combination of the two?
Hey, two, man. The more just keep piling the natural disasters on. Fortunately, not much damage. And I was actually in New York in 2011 for the last quake we had north of the city. And it was interesting. It wasn't like a California earthquake where everything just crumbles. It was more like you were just kind of shaking around for a couple of seconds and then it stopped. Well, so for investors, where do you put your money to work? I mean, sure. Gold is looking good. Cryptos are looking good. What else?
Yeah. A lot of those commodity assets, like you said, I know gold hit an all-time high here, over 2,300. Silver, I know we were even talking before we got started here, coming back to life, agreed on both of those terms. At the end of the day, I think if you're trying to see around the corner a little bit, even with the less likely rate cuts, I think that small cap equities will end up being a beneficiary of lower rates when we get there. That might be later this year. That could be early 2025. But if we're trying to look around the corner and place a bet for, you know, a little bit further out than, you know, the next couple months, I think that that could be a potential. And at the end of the day, I think it's still worth noting, and it's kind of a boring point at this point, but cash is still paying us a lot. And it's hard to turn away a 5.5%, you know, rate that we're seeing on money markets now. And so I think that outside of the commodities, like you noted, I would look at those things too.
All right. So cash is still king. But inflation, so it'll be interesting to see what those next inflation numbers are. Like, the Fed can't do much, but the statistics mills in Washington can be very helpful to incumbents, can't they?
They absolutely can. And I think that it, belaboring that point we could go into, but I just would put a pin in it and say absolutely. I think that when we look at statistics, if we're not just looking at the real raw data, they can tell us whatever we want to see.
Hey, what did they say? Statistics lie and liars use statistics, right? And then there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. I think Churchill said that one. So, and we know that this job number is going to be revised down, right?
I think, I saw some forecasts at 3.9, and then they came in again at 3.8, which is where the initial number, of course, came out today. I think it's reasonably likely that it would be revised down, back to what those other forecasts may have indicated. And so, it seems reasonably likely to me that that would be the case. And obviously, we'll see if the market wants to shrug that off, too.
Do you remember ever seeing this many downward revisions on job reports since you've been doing this?
I do not. At the end of the day, I do not. I've been, in investments now since 2012. And at the end of the day, I think that, we've seen a lot of revisions, not just on the jobs numbers, too, on these inflation figures that have come out the last year and a half, trying to get an accurate read on those. We could go down a list of those as well.
Yeah, well, going to the cynical economic site, otherwise known as ZeroHedge.com, they said that the print was literally all part-time jobs and illegals. That kind of sums it up, huh?
I think that absolutely that there is a point of information there that's quite interesting. I agree. It's probably a cynical perspective, but, it's still worth noting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, all I know is here in Florida, the economy in season was booming. You couldn't get a restaurant. I know it's all anecdotal. And as the late, great Senator Daniel Moynihan once said, the plural of anecdote is not data. But when you go around enough and you want to go to your favorite restaurant and you can't get in there for a week, all right, and that never happens, then you start looking. And interesting. Hey, do you have any personal opinion about real estate? I haven't looked at the home builders lately. When I looked at them like 3 weeks ago, they were trading at all-time record highs.
I think that as far as the commercial building, that's actually, from what everything I've seen, has continued pretty reasonably in a surprising way to me. Now, obviously, the residential builds have gone down substantially, especially with mortgage rates, skyrocketing. And I guess this is a little bit more of a forward look and maybe not what you asked necessarily, but if we do get, if we do get the rate decreases later this year, I think that's going to end up meaning a whole lot of, positives when it comes to commercial, because so much, if you look at the raw data of the commercial loans, not new builds, but the loans that have been refinanced, it's mostly, maybe you've, talk with other guests about the whole pretend and extend mentality. A lot of these banks have taken on their commercial loans.
They have no choice.
And then they have no choice. And at some point, though, something's got to give. Either they will not be able to, I'll just say, extend these commercial loans out anymore, just kind of playing with the numbers and the financing of it, and they'll have to write down those losses, just like the banks did on those, treasury assets last spring that caused them, their balance sheets to explode. Of course, rates come down and they can actually get those, values, those cap rates to come back up.
Right. Hey, so the basically Lennar, which probably is the primo home builder, their stock peaked March 1st. Toll Brothers peaked March 28th. I have a feeling they're not done hitting new highs. And even though in California, they said the number of the building permits was down 40 some odd percent from last year. And last year was not such a great year either. It makes you kind of wonder here, huh?
I think that, you know, there's probably a couple of factors there. I think ultimately the market has moved so much more on momentum these days than on the fundamentals. And even still, though, to lend the credence and give the devil his due on the fundamental side, especially like a Toll Brothers, you know, the demand there in the residential market is still, you know, just there's just not as many homes to purchase because so many folks aren't selling, as you know, because they all locked in rates that were honey, you know, just absolute honey of a deal at, you know, 2x% on their 30-year mortgage. And who wants to sell when they're in that situation?
Yeah. Well, supposedly inventory is going up in certain parts of Florida. Could be seasonal. Usually this is the buying season in Florida, tourist season. I guess we're going to find out. Well, just tell us, Ted, where do we find you? How do we connect with you on the web?
You can always find us at our website, brightlakewealth.com. That's usually the easiest way to get in touch with us.
All right. Excellent. The link to Ted's site in the show notes, this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And make sure you sign up for a free newsletter. Also, check out our companion site, inflation.cafe, where dollars go to die. And if you got a question for Ted and myself, shoot us an email, kl@carrylutz.com. Ted, great having you back on. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Carrie. Have a great one.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.